Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. I think the stream is working now. We apologize for technical difficulties tonight, but let's just say it's been a long night considering everything that's had to go on. Now, originally, Matthew, Tristan, and I, myself, Satish Ram, were going to podcast about Dragon Ball Z's first movie, The Dead Zone. And we are going to go ahead with that idea. We just need to get ourselves together real quick. So I'm going to go ahead and mention something that was actually on all of our minds last night that we found out after our wrestling podcast. Now, we found out that the Ultimate Warrior had passed away at the age of 54. Now, this was a huge thing for us because, well, granted, we aren't the guys that grew up with the Ultimate Warrior. We are just a little bit older than that. So we missed out on all the crazy antics of the Ultimate Warrior and all that kind of stuff, you know? But we heard and we watched, and thanks to the WWE Network, we were able to experience some of it, you know, which was pretty awesome. And you look at this guy, he was born James Brian Helwig, and he famously changed his name to Warrior in 1993. And his children and wife actually took that last name. Now, the Ultimate Warrior was considered a legend by many, including WWE, as they inducted him into the Hall of Fame just on Saturday evening, and he made his last public appearance on Monday night when he went ahead and made a little bit of a little promo, you know, not so much Warrior old school, but he got out there and talked, and a few of us were worried because he looked like he was out of shape and he wasn't particularly in the best of health. And then there were guys like Matthew and myself that freaked out because it was the Ultimate Warrior. And we got to hear a Warrior promo, and it was still kind of fun for us, you know. Although the delivery seemed like it was lacking, the content was there, and Warrior was as inspirational as he ever was. It's a sad, sad story to hear about the Ultimate Warrior, considering that he finally seemed to have got his closure with WWE. He was able to patch things up with Vince and Kevin Nash and all these guys after all the hell that they had put him through. So it was very unfortunate to know that the Ultimate Warrior now had to, well, unfortunately pass away. It's tough for me to talk about because last night I shed many tears over the idea that a guy who finally got his closure, was finally able to put everything together, just passed away. It was disappointing. And even more so after you read, almost in a surreal sense, what he had to say on Monday night when he had taken the mic. Now, this is a quote from what he had mentioned, and here it is. No WWE talent becomes a legend of their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe a final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized. By the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever. And I think he's aware of the impact he had on our lives when he was out there for years. And Matt Morero's on right now, so I'll let him join in with me here. I've put him on air because he was experiencing it live with me last night when I had my little freakout session and just was shocked at the death of the Ultimate Warrior.
I think it came to a real shock to me because we were both just talking about him, and I know most people say that in a way, but I mean, we were actually doing a full podcast about him, making jokes, laughing, loving this guy and his body of work, and then this ends up happening, and it's just very upsetting, obviously.
Yeah, it took a lot of us just by surprise. He's only 54. He's survived by his wife and his two daughters. And I'll be the first one to admit that Warrior and I never – we didn't agree on everything socially. Not so much that he knew who I was, but we didn't agree on the same social things. However, a person is always more, there's more to somebody than their worst opinion. And we sometimes forget that. And just because we didn't agree on social things doesn't mean I wasn't able to realize that the Ultimate Warrior was just a great guy. And we all embraced him because, you know, we all make jokes. He ran into our heart. He did all this kind of stuff. But this was a guy that defined the childhood of a lot of people. And
definitely. I mean, he was so popular. I think people forget that in the age of, you know, Undertaker and Hogan now. They forget that he was such a big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, I had some things written that I wanted to say, but to be honest, it seems just more genuine to just talk about how shocked we all were last night.
Yeah.
Because it's so surreal to think that we saw him come back on Saturday, come back on Monday, and then just drop, and unfortunately, you know? And it was due to a heart attack. So,
yeah, which
anyone out there
which is very interesting. I even mentioned to you last night, or first you mentioned to me how this is one of those moments that will go on, you know, to be remembered in history, where it's just, where were you when the Ultimate Warrior died? Because there are a few superstars where their deaths were impactful. However, for someone who had just made a return, and it wasn't going to be a long-term thing, but who just made a return, who just buried the hatchet, and then to have him go like this, you know, definitely will be remembered throughout history. His legacy will be remembered.
It's tough, and it's also, I say it's surreal, and it's scary, because it almost seemed, if you go back and you look at the promo that he cut on Monday night, which I've quoted, it almost seems like he knew. It almost seems like he knew he was running on his last breath, that he was on borrowed time, and that he wanted to go out there and thank everybody.
Yes, I'm a true believer in the whole idea of just, you know, sticking to this plane of existence, right, until you're done, until you just feel as if you're fulfilled, and then he just let go.
So I'd like to think that he was happy, at least, you know, that he was able to get closure in some of the biggest – this WWE was his life. Well, WWF and WCW, rather. But wrestling was his life. And it's just tough for me. And, I don't know. There's an old baseball movie called The Sandlot that I used to watch a lot as a kid. And the quote goes that, you know, heroes will be remembered, but legends live forever.
Yeah.
And – although the vessel of the Ultimate Warrior was weakened out, he had become older and weakened, we all have the opportunity to go back and look at the Ultimate Warrior and look at his matches and look at the energy that he brought and smile and make jokes and pretend to be him and scream and talk about loading the spaceship with rocket fuel again like I love to do, because I never get over just his energy. You know, we all fall for energy. We all love energy. So on that note, you know, Heroes will be remembered, but legends will live forever. Thank you, Ultimate Warrior, for your contributions to wrestling, to us.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to segue into some lighter stuff tonight, where we talk about Dragon Ball Z. Is that right, Matt?
The first Dragon Ball Z film, The Dead Zone. Many of us saw it. I'm actually going to bring on our guest co-host, going to put him into the corner. Hello, Mr. Walter, you're on. Please introduce yourself. I already got half your name.
Hi. Thanks for bringing me on tonight, guys.
Oh, no problem, man. I mean, Tristan and I go way back. You didn't introduce yourself, Tristan. Tristan and I go way back. So it's just, you know, I mean, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I would really just want to – when I thought, who am I going to talk DBZ with? I thought Tristan immediately. Well, yeah, and you know, so and remember, we're on internet radio. You can yell at me. He berates me. It's actually he gets me sad.
Mm. Oh, thanks, Matt. You know, the emotional scarring that you've given me too. You know.
What? Who would do such a thing? I've broken him so many times. So moving forward, so DBZ movie. I want to know how each of us watched it. Oh, by the way, Satish, did you give out the number?
I did not give out the number because I jumped right into talking about the Ultimate Warrior, so let's do that right now.
If anyone wants to talk to us about the first DBZ movie, tell us your experience. I'm a big fan of knowing how someone first got in contact with DBZ or with these movies, because they're very interesting, and you know, to see who got to watch it and how they got to watch it via, you know, their region or things like that. The number to call in is 718-664-9468. Again, 718-664-9468. 9468. So before I talk about it, how did you guys first watch Dragon Ball Z? You.
Yeah, actually, let Tristan lead the way on this one because he's the guest. I want to give him some time to have
a little fun here. Yes.
Okay. Well, if I remember correctly, I probably saw Dead Zone when it aired on Cartoon Network on Toonami, and I believe it was Ocean Dub when I first saw it.
Yep. All right, we're gonna high five on that one, but it's a mental one, but definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are the old school one. I'm 90% sure I saw the Funimation one because I like a
you
few
saw the Funimation one.
Yeah, because I was very. I'm not going to say casually because I was a big Dragon Ball Z fan, but I was casually into anime as a whole. So I didn't hit up on all these movies until much later, you know, until I ran into people that were telling me, hey, there are movies for this, you know? So I think it was the late 2000s. I was still like maybe 14, 15, but that's when I came across this movie. So I'm sure I hit the Funimation dub at that point.
Okay. Was Goku, like, how did Goku sound? Did he sound like, you know, Sean? Did he sound like, you know, did he sound a bit like, more like, I wouldn't say like a man, because what Sean does is, you know, Sean Schmel, he like, you know, he makes voice high pitched, but the other Gokus from the Ocean Dub, they kind of just sounded like me, you know, like this. They were kind of just dudes.
Yeah, I don't think I got the dude Goku.
Yeah, you got the Sean Goku, yeah. Little fun fact. If you've ever seen Dragon Ball, which I believe you have, Satishan.
Yes.
No doubt, Tristan. He also did Emperor Pilaf, the guy who did the voice of Garlic Jr.
Hmm.
Who is also the voice of Android 17. Who is also the voice of Hiei. Now we jump into Yu Yu Hakusho. Yeah. So sometimes people tell me, Funimation is a small voice talent. And I was like, no, they're smaller. Don't say small. There was a point where they were smaller, where it's just, all right, like, I feel like they were just like, yeah, you're here on set. Can you be these main characters? Sure. Whatever. You know, they tell me they have a process of, like, elimination where they actually do auditions. I don't believe them. I don't believe that they do audition. I believe they just go, dude, you're in the booth. Can you please be main character from these amount of shows? Like, wait a minute. It's the same show. Yeah, I know, but it's One Piece. No one will watch the whole thing.
Wow.
I'm being serious. You know, but anyway, yes, so we got later on, we got Toonami, and I also, same thing, you know, Toonami, I was just sitting there and they were promoting the hell out of this new movie, and I thought, wait a minute, animated shows can have movies that don't go into movie theaters, like go immediately on my TV? I was hooked. I was like, okay. Because, you know, I know, like, we were so young, we really had no concept of Japan. So,
right, so
we were just
kind of understand where I'm coming from just now when I talked about, like, you know, it took me a while to actually find this stuff out.
Oh, yes, because if you didn't see it on the night of, I mean, they would re-air them, but I do not remember, I don't know if you remember, Tristan, but I do not remember them airing these things constantly. Just, hey, did you see the movie? No. Shit out of luck.
Yeah, it was pretty much luck of the draw. Like, sometimes... I don't know. Sometimes I don't think they even promoted them. They just, like, put them on and say, hey, we got a DBZ movie on today. Here you go.
Yeah, that's the thing. I assume they promoted them. I should make that clear. Yeah, I assume they said, here's the movies. But for all I know, they just put them on, and because I was sitting in front of my TV screen because I was 8, of course you're going to be watching it.
I think I saw, like, Tree of Might come on one day like that.
Yeah, like, what the hell am I watching?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this is Dragon Ball Z, but I've never seen this before.
Yeah, like, immediately it just, like, it looks like a soap opera to you. It's just like, okay, there's Goku, and then there's his evil twin. it's just, oh no. Which one is Goku, which one is Gohan's father? Like, people are confused. Why is this a plot? But no, that's good. All right, so we got how we saw it. Now, when we did see it, what did we think? Like, you know, Tristan, like, when you first saw it as a kid, I mean, and even if you want to, you know, we'll talk about our second reactions later as adults, but, like, as a kid, what did you think?
As a kid, I was probably just excited to be watching it.
Yeah, it can be reduced.
It's the fact that I caught it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to, like, go in depth. You were a kid, so you just be like, fuck yeah, because that's all of our reactions.
No, yeah, that was definitely it. Yeah, because looking back at it, right, I mean, I accepted what was basically like a 15-minute charge-up scene in Dragon Ball Z for Super Saiyan 3 at face value, because in my head, it was awesome. Now I'm sitting there like, how did I do that? How did I sit there through advertisements, watch a guy charge up advertisement, watch a guy charge up advertisement, then finally do it and end the episode and still be happy? So when you look at the movie...
Japan has the cure for ADD.
Really good music by Bruce Falconer.
Yes, that too. That man is a god because
I think that's my ADHD cure, because Bruce Falconer was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing with him too that I really enjoy, we'll talk about him a lot on this show, and honestly next time we'll probably just play a couple pieces from him. He's brilliant because of the fact that, you know, as much as I love the Japanese score, but he has made a score that has been equally as good. Not so much for the movies, because I believe some of the movies weren't under his direction, but the show itself, though, brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's at the point where I would own his collection if it wasn't, you know, a hilarious amount of money because of how out of print it is. But I would own it, right, because I have I have the entire collection on my hard drive right now, and it's brilliant. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. You know, and if you don't know about him, you just think, oh, yeah, this, you know, that music was all stock music. No, it wasn't. Shut up. Go listen to some of his tracks. They were great. You know, they really took the show in a different direction, which is amazing, because usually it's, you know, you either four-kids it, where it's just stock music, or you put in the Japanese music, which is nice, but sometimes it does sound a bit off when you have American voices. But in this case, though, music from scratch, which is amazing. But all right, so let's see. So we got Hell Yeah from Tristan. What about you, Satish? What did you think when you first saw it? Because you were a bit older.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the whole, I thought it was pretty cool, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how much that opinion has value, because I was able to take all those other things at face value. So,
well,
of
that's
course,
why
movie,
I want to compare it. Now, after we talk about it once, I want to compare it to our older selves, which we will still like it, I assume, but we'll have more of a, you know, overall critique of it. Because as kids, that's the only thing we can process. Is it good or is it bad?
Mm-hmm.
So you got good. And then personally, I mean, yeah, I think it was a bit different, you know, because even though it was still DBZ, like, I don't think we saw something like the Dead Zone from where we were. And I think that's what I found interesting, because, like, while we still, like, you know, while there, because I don't think Frieza was around yet. Obviously, he wasn't around when, you know, the movie was actually made in Japan. However, we obviously got it later. So we got it maybe possibly like in the middle of the Vegeta saga or even a bit after. So we're getting a movie, right, where if anyone remembers it, you know, definitely watch it before, you know, if you want to hear this in the archives and watch it, you know, please do. Because imagine just literally as a kid, right? You know, they didn't say it exactly. Basically, we're kids, and we're watching, and this movie was barely cut, right? The audio could have been cut, but the video barely cut. And we're just sitting here, and it's just like, you know, it's so garlic, what are you going to do? You know, just Demon Army, whatever. Oh, cool. And we're both like, Tristan and I are like, what, like eight? We're like eight, nine. We're just sitting there. We're just sitting there, and it's just like, I'm trying to stop Garlic Jr. Why, Kami? He wants to raise a Demon Army to destroy the Earth. Oh, but they fucked up, Joey. Pretty fucked up, Yug.
Yep.
You know, right there, that's my entire opinion. Just, well, like, because I look back at it now. Recently I saw it with my lovely girlfriend, Ashley Colpan. Recently I saw it with her. And I'm sitting here going, you know, every 5 minutes, I just looked at her and I was like, this is Japanese movies for children. Like, over in Japan, they just nodded and went, perfect.
Is that why Gohan gets the big fight in the sea? Because, I mean, they're relating to the children?
No, he gets the big fight because foreshadowing. Because Filler loves to foreshadow things that should have been
spontaneous
to us.
We're foreshadowing when he ends up spirit bombing Boo and, like, takes him out in story, right? Because he becomes the strongest character in the anime?
Yes, confused. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
got it. Just
yeah,
making
it's
sure.
It's foreshadowing exactly when Gohan was about to take the reins, and Goku said, take a rest. But, Dad, I'm fully take a rest. Go home.
Goku John Cena'd him, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, Goku buried Gohan. And then no one could take him seriously after, even though he was really strong.
He was awesome.
He was. I love – I think we have two Gohan fans here, like huge Gohan fans. We have you, Tristan, and then we have – because you're a huge Gohan fan. Am I correct, Tristan?
Well, yeah. I mean, you basically – you got to watch Goku grow up as a kid, and then you got to watch his son, Gohan, take the reins from his father to become the defender of the Earth. Although, I
and
mean,
then, you know, yeah.
It'd get a little cut off after.
I'm resisting making a great Saiyaman joke here because that's a real defender of the Earth thing. But
hey, it's okay. Yeah. Before we go back into the movie, it's okay because then in GT we got to see Goten grow up, and wasn't he a little shit?
Fuck GT.
It's the. That should be the name of it. We should do an entire episode. We should call it Fuck GT.
Fuck GT. That's going to be my only line the entire episode. So tell us your thoughts. Fuck GT.
Any follow-up thoughts? No, seriously. Fuck GT.
Yeah, really.
I don't think
I can make it any clearer.
That moment when you're on live television, just on the news, you're like, hey, what's your opinion on GT, sir? Fuck GT. Thank you, Satish. I think we all agree. But
non-canon
back
piece
to the,
of shit.
Back to the movie.
I'm not going to get into that one.
No, well, it is non-canon. He only made the art. You know, he only made like a couple art things. Like, what's more canon now is like the movie and, you know, and any other specials that came out recently, minus the Bardock one. Those are canon.
Mm-hmm.
Minus Bardock. But anyway, getting back to the movie. Yeah, in Off-Filler, they like to do little bits of foreshadowing that are extremely confusing because it's like, obviously the manga is ahead. So at that time, the manga was so far ahead that they knew, okay, we could foreshadow Gohan. But you sit there and you go, why? Like, it's so cool to just, like, see Gohan, you know, do his thing like that and be like, oh, see? But also as kids, it wasn't foreshadowing because obviously it was aired out of order. So by the time, because I don't know if you know this, Satish, but the Death Zone appeared before the anime was actually a thing. And, like, it was in a couple of episodes.
You mean Dragon Ball Z anime, right? Or Dragon Ball overall?
Yes, well, no, it was still Dragon Ball Z anime, but it wasn't, like, up to where we were when we got it. Because when we got it, I believe we got the first three movies in one bracket. Because they were all dubbed by Ocean Dub. So I believe, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, we got them in the same bracket so because it was like, oh, yeah, you know, they were already, like, in space or going to space, and then they were like, oh, well, you know, so what are we going to do now to, like, air in this filler? It's like, oh, we have those movies.
Okay.
Right? In Japan, what they do is every summer they just aired and they did a new movie, which is why there's so many over the years compared to something like Bleach, where Bleach will take their time. So there's only, like, four Bleach movies. Compared to DBZ's 13 during its initial run.
Wow.
Yes. And there was even a few more Dragon Ball movies.
If I remember correctly, I mean, Dead Zone was like the late 80s, right?
Yes. Yes. Dead Zone was, I'm going to check that right now, but yes, Dead Zone should be either 89 or like 91. Because
this is where we need our fact checker, Maddie, but she's, of course, our wrestling girl, so she's not going to contribute to Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, well, you know, she should start watching that Z. She needs the Z. She should want
I'm
going to
kill
Z.
You.
Yeah, 1989.
Oh, wow.
1989 motion. Yes, exactly. And, oh,
older
God, this is great.
You.
Everyone needs to hear its wiki entry just because Dragon Ball Z Dead Zone originally released theatrically in Japan simply as Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Z Return My Gohan. That's not even
Gohan.
An issue. No, for its Japanese VHS and Laserdisc release.
Oh, God.
Laserdisc, everyone. Remember that? You don't? That's understandable.
Laserdisc.
Laserdisc. Because why? That should be the tagline. Laserdisc. Because, really?
That actually makes me scared.
What?
Like, how
what?
Do you market that to kids? Hey, kids, go out and buy the Laserdisc. Mommy, is it going to eat me in my sleep?
Well, Matt, I think we know what we need to do now, right?
Buy a bunch of Laserdiscs and, like, stay up till 3 in the morning with a shotgun? Like, your move, Jack.
We've probably watched this movie on every other platform that it's come out on. We might as well make it, you know, perfect.
Well, it's kind of, well, here's the issue, though. I agree with you, though. But with Laserdisc, what we would have to do, though, which, by the way, can happen. We'd have to buy the Laserdisc player and then find the Laserdisc in Japanese, which, strangely, in our 2014 society, is probably very easy. Which
cool.
is funny. What?
It's possible.
I can probably go on eBay. You know what? Now that we have this kind of time, because I think if you watch, I mean, we're going to keep on going about the movie, obviously, but now I'm going to be a fact checker. I'm going to go on eBay right now live and see if I can find it in Laserdisc format, because I'm damn sure that I can.
Oh,
but
geez.
Please. So I'll be doing this while you guys. Tristan, now go on your current opinion, because I'm sure you've seen it recently, or at least recent enough to know that you weren't, you know, 10 anymore. What did you think about it? And, okay, this is kind of creepy. I'm going to, like, okay, so I'm assuming Google, eBay, like, filters your, you know, like, your search engines or whatever, but it's kind of creepy because I haven't gone on it in a while, and we're doing a podcast right now, and the first four selections are DBZ things, and I'm kind of nervous.
I'm not
sure. Are they watching me?
Probably.
Hi, eBay. Anyway, so Tristan, what do you think now? Like, sadly, we have to call you an adult. Me too, though. We're all adults. It's kind of creepy. But as an adult...
Technically, I'm not legally an adult.
That's true. You can't drink. Legally.
Legally.
Legally, right.
Except when I'm working.
Anyway.
Yes. But anyway, so Tristan, what do you think as an adult... Shut up, Sish. What do you think as an adult about the current DVD film?
Don't talk
once you're done laughing.
Matt.
No. Tristan, you weren't there for this. Last night, Ian and I went on a war where we slipped in, screw you, Satish, you know, fuck you, Matt, in every single sentence for about a good paragraph.
Yeah, and it was pretty good because it was like, yeah, we saw the match, fuck you, Matt, and it was really entertaining, and he'd come back and be like, honestly, I think he's really talented, screw you, Satish. And that was it for about 2-3 minutes until Matt gave up.
No,
asked for a truce, and I accepted. He asked for a truce, and
no,
I accepted.
No, but the thing is, no, because what happened is, but I still got
you. Sounds oddly
it was,
familiar.
Yes, right? No, because what happened was I was throwing them in the middle. We were both throwing them in the middle of our paragraphs, like each and every time. But by the end of it, I threw it in at the end as a giant fuck you, because you were like, oh, no, you can't do it, and like in your head, because you were thinking, oh, yeah, he's not going to do it. And then I threw it in there, and you were like, damn. So I went, you know what, fine. How about we do a truce? Because I agree. Like, I was like, we're done here. We need to talk about the actual wrestling. Although we were making great points, I think. That was nice.
Matt, you dirty cheat.
So, all right. So, how do you feel about the movie now as an adult? Or the closest thing to?
As an adult.
Or the closest thing to?
How do I feel now?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm probably still tainted by nostalgia as a kid, so I can't really rag on it too much.
No, but you can still talk about it as much as you wish, because, you know, I mean, we still love the movie. It still has a place in our hearts. But, I mean, hey, if it wasn't the best DVD movie or it wasn't the best whatever, like, we can talk about it right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't my favorite one, I could say that. But
yes.
I don't know. I feel like each of the movies had a little bit of something to bring to the table. Like, I mean, if you really think about it, I think Garlic is the only one to actually, you know, threaten the Z-Fighters with destruction by locking them into another dimension instead of, oh, I'm going to blow up your planet.
Yes, actually, quite true. And it sucks because I would hope that I could say, oh, and he's also the first one to gain immortality or to gain what he wants. But sadly, for a while, they just decided that every DBZ movie should be the movie where the villain actually gains whatever they wish for. Like, if anyone still hasn't seen the movie or forgets, Garlic Jr. got immortality.
Yeah.
He won.
That was another
technically.
Point.
No, that almost sounds terrible. Shoot for immortality, and you'll still become a B-level villain in a Dragon Ball Z movie, and that's it. And that's it. And you'll lose.
It's kind of sad, actually.
You want to think it's the shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars. But really, it's shoot for the moon. If you miss, when you fail, nobody will be there to see your failure.
And you can't breathe in space.
No. So you'll die, and that's okay.
Well, actually.
Yes, well, unless your name is Frieza and your last name is We Don't Know.
Or you're Vegeta and Nappa in a filler episode.
Oh yeah, right. That's another thing too. But
good counter argument,
probably,
actually.
We need to do a full episode on.
Or your name
episode.
Is Bardock.
Yeah, or your name is Bardock for some reason, but that's in the new special, so it's not canon.
But you know, he's just surrounded by an aura of complete badass. So
I lose track of everything that's canon and what's not canon. To be completely honest with you, sometimes.
I'm sorry. What was that? I didn't hear you say.
I sometimes lose track of everything that's what's canon and what's non-canon sometimes.
That's a huge issue, actually, about the anime because, like, well, I'm not saying that Goku didn't take a while to power up because he did. You know, even in the manga, it's like they understood that it takes a while and it drains him as well as the Earth. But at the same time, people always quote the anime, and it's like I want to shut them down. And sometimes I feel that way about you, but you're my friend. But it really sucks. So it's like, oh, yeah, this happened. It's like... not really, because, I mean, yes, I know it's out there, but it's really upsetting if, like, someone did try to quote that, where, like, they didn't know about the canons and everything, and they just basically said, like Tristan said, oh, but Vegeta and Nappa can breathe in space, so they're fine. It's like, no, they can't. They're just really bad at keeping consistency.
It's not just this anime, but that's a big criticism.
What is?
No, like, the whole, it's really hard to figure out, you know, what's really canon and what's not, you know, in terms of continuity and all this kind of stuff.
Fair enough.
For this one. And that's my one big criticism of Dragon Ball Z, because obviously I loved it, and I am, as Tristan said, you know, I'm definitely tainted with nostalgia here, where, I mean, I can go back and watch Dragon Ball Z stuff, and I will still freak out, because it's like, dude!
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Yes, oh, definitely. And what were you going to say, Tristan?
Agreeing, basically. I mean, I could still go back, even with watching, you know, Goku power up for 30 minutes, even. I still get goosebumps.
If it's on mute, I can watch it, too.
Yes, no. One of the things that I love, I think, is his first transformation. I think that's amazing, and what I love is people have rescored it, and usually, 9 times out of 10, the score is just as great, and it makes the scene even more powerful, and it evokes an energy within you that you're just like, wow. You know, his first ever Super Saiyan scene.
You're talking to when he was fighting Frieza?
Yes.
Oh, God, I loved that.
Yeah, I know. When he's just standing there, and it's just, you know, he's just pulsating, like, and then just blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, you're just sitting there. For most of DBZ as a kid, I was not even sitting there. I was standing up, having my, you know, my legs kind of curled up going, I gotta go pee. But loving every single minute of what I was seeing.
About that first scene, too, the one where it transforms against Frieza. There is an excellent AMV out on YouTube that uses Rock You Like a Hurricane, the actual orchestrated 2000
amazing.
Version.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
and
I've seen that.
So I can't remember the scene of him transforming Super Saiyan for the first time without in my head just like the beginning of I guarantee
the internet, everyone.
If you haven't seen this AMV, just look at the first minute and a half for me because it will affect your viewership of that scene forever, where it makes it 10 times cooler.
That's great. Oh, cooler, you say. Speaking of cooler, I found...
Get out.
I didn't find... I didn't find the Dead Zone Laserdisc. However, I did find one for the sixth movie involving Cooler, and it's $30. All three are $30. It's that one, BoJack, and the third Broly movie, which I love how someone...
It's $30 each or $30 for the combo?
No, $30 each.
Oh, fuck that.
No. You have to understand.
You have me
something.
At 30 combined, but...
Well, no, but remember something. These are rare. And these
yeah,
are,
but this
know,
is also
so...
for the purpose of us making Laserdisc jokes. I'm poor.
Mm-hmm. Well, but also, I would like you to mention, though, that these look better than DVD. At least
I'd like to mention, verify, Satish is poor. Yes, this is true. Like, I thought you could just fucking throw that at me.
Satish is quite poor, but we're not using statistics here. We're using...
Okay.
No, but seriously.
They basically all fit into that category, but okay, go on.
You know what I love, though? We all need to give each other a high five, because none of the three of us can sit down and go, yeah, I have money. So it's okay.
I think I can only afford a high four, if that's okay.
I was hoping I can borrow 2 fives from someone. I can only do a high three. So I have to admit, though, after seeing BoJack again, I would sort of think about purchasing it. The Return of Cooler was definitely worth a purchase. Bio Broly is worth me buying it to pee on it.
Just
to sit there and be like, this is a great use of this.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to try and search Dragon Ball Z because sadly, all right, so what we got both of your opinions. I'll say that in rewatching it, we definitely, it got creepy and it got weird and I liked it. I liked where it was going, but I just feel weird about showing it to my family. Like now it's just like, I want to show it to my, younger, cousins or younger, whoever, people in Ashley's family. And it's like, should I? Will they get completely freaked out and want to turn off the damn thing? Like, no, scary, because it's a valid point.
Hey, Matt, while we're half off topic here, we got a caller coming in. It's our friend Angie, as you know by now.
I knew she was going to call in. Anyway, love her to death.
Yeah, because she's wonderful. And actually, as she's on air now, she was calling because of the transformation scenes we were talking about, because that's what caught her interest.
Interesting.
So, Angie, you're on air.
Yes. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Angie.
Whoa.
You were talking about the transformations and how you would just stand there in awe and you would probably release your bladder at the same time.
Usually,
but I wanted to mention, did anyone mention
the
hair? Have we forgotten about the hair? Hilarious. Have we forgotten about the hair and the amazing lengths that it goes through?
Yes. I know the animation is really funny with that, where it just goes from like one length, and it's like, wait a minute, but Goku, your hair was okay. I'll see where the narrative goes. We're kids, so we're not sitting there like, I wonder where this is going. I guess because of how young we are. Yes, I'll talk about this on the podcast later. Yes, Dragon Ball Z. We just talked. Yeah. So, but yeah, like the little things like that, where it's just he's just standing there, and it's like his hair got bigger, mommy. I don't know if it was supposed to. But
totally. Yeah. I used to be kind of confused at that, and I would remember that the hairs, like the length of the hair, would mean the different Super Saiyans, and I would be like, "What? This is insane!" Because that is just a lot of hair.
Yeah, and then Nappa's like, "I'm Super Saiyan 3," and everyone's laughing. No, you're not, Nappa. You're old.
Exactly.
No, Vegeta, I did it, Vegeta.
Why are we thought his goatee would turn golden?
Yes, I assume because Japan isn't doing so well with China, they just make him a complete, like, quote-unquote Chinese character. His goatee gets longer.
What?
His goatee he ends up stepping on his goatee by the time he's Super Saiyan 3.
Can't even fight people with it? Like, what?
Well, what can you do if for some reason Nappa went Super Saiyan? Like, Super Saiyan 1, it's like his goatee turns gold. Super Saiyan 3, your hair grows longer. So, so what's going to happen? His goatee is going to be so huge that if he's on land, he'll trip over it.
I feel like there's some really, like, bald American guy sitting there. Like, I want to go Super Saiyan not because I would look cool with the powers and stuff, but I want hair.
Hulk Hogan? Current day
Probably.
Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, I'm sure Hulk Hogan sits there and he's like, brother.
Yeah,
he throws out his bag.
His beard is already gold, so he doesn't need to worry about that.
I think every person needs to worry about going Super Saiyan or not. I feel like that should be a theme during your day. Like, one of your friends
have
is
I
like, oh, man,
today?
I had a...
Or
have
do
I
the
I
combining.
Today?
No.
Or do the
Maybe
combining
today
Super
is the
Saiyan.
Day.
No. It's just like... One of your friends sits there and is like, man, my teacher gave me a really bad grade today. I just feel so terrible. Was it like a really bad grade? Yeah. Like, would it make you really sad? Like, should it invoke a feeling in me? Yeah.
Like the feeling
is
of
it
losing
killing
your
you
best friend
inside? is it killing you inside? I think so. This person's standing there like, what the fuck are you doing?
That sounds more like Babidi trying to take control of them than trying to turn them Super Saiyan.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. That's bad.
Do you remember that, though? Babidi, the hate thing.
Stop. I can't.
Just,
hey, Majin Vegeta had this, he was the direct leader to this really useless move in Dragon Ball Z Budokai that allowed him to suicide if he didn't do it correctly. But it looked really beautiful.
It was a beautiful move, but then you realized, oh, wait, they blocked it. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't win.
Yeah, and it was Final Explosion in the Budokai games, which I know in Budokai 2 you could only access in Majin Vegeta's form, which could only be accessed on the last half bar of health. And you had to
because of how stupid it is.
Yeah, you had to button mash like you were an actual Super Saiyan to actually fill up the bar for this one. And I think twirl the analog sticks, if I remember correctly, that's what they used to do. And you always came so close as a kid. The older people could do it because they were just good at things. But as a kid, you came that close, and the move would go on as if you thought you did it correctly, and then Vegeta would die.
And this is why I gave up on Budokai, because of the complications with
Vegeta. Oh, please, Budokai games were awesome, though. The joke fusions were the best.
Budokai was great. It was just too much for me because the platform.
You guys remember Goku?
My God.
Of course,
Goku.
He doesn't remember Goku. Tiencha.
What the fuck? Chinchillas.
Oh, no, are you saying something about Tiencha? You got cut off.
Oh, I said chinchillas.
Hello?
Yes, everyone all right?
It seems as if we're having some technical difficulties with Angie, so I'll talk about her behind her back. She's a very lovely woman.
I believe we might be having technical difficulties here.
I'm not really good with this.
I don't know. I'm here, guys.
Oh, okay. No, because we'll hear little bits of you. However, earlier on, you were getting cut off. However, I'd like to mention something. Speaking of Babidi, I just wanted to try to recruit someone in modern day. We're just like, so, you have to live with the hatred. You have to embrace it. You have to. And people are sitting there like, are you a white supremacy group?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, why? Why?
All right, so let's make sure everyone's here. There's no mic issues or any kind of calling in trouble. We have Satish Ram. Satish Ram? Well, who's here? We have Angie.
Yes.
We have Tristan Walter.
Possibly. Yes.
Where is he? No, we hear you. We have Matt Marrero again. And Satish Ram is possibly petering off somewhere. Oh, speaking of Dead Zone Laserdiscs, because we were there at a point. Sadly, there are no Dead Zone Laserdiscs. Looking at it right now, there's Stephen King's Dead Zone. We scroll down to find The Dead Zone, which actually is it is the Japanese version of the movie The Dead Zone, and it has Christopher Walken on the cover. Take that as you will. And there's Night of the Living Dead, there's Dead of Night, there's so many little things, but sadly there is no Dragon Ball Z Dead Zone Laserdisc. I feel so sad.
No, sad life.
We can't get the Japanese version. Yes, we can't get the Japanese version of it on Laserdisc, sadly.
Hey, it sounds like I'm
dead.
Satish Ram is back. He's alive.
Yeah, that was a weird technical difficulty moment. I'm sorry for what happened there. I'm not sure what went on.
It's fine. You know, it'll happen sometimes. And I assumed that you weren't. I assumed, honestly, that you were going Super Saiyan, so I was okay with
it. Yeah, I was just about to say, maybe the Super Saiyan, like, interfered with the satellites and the signal, and I was just thinking the same thing, you know?
Yeah, just electrical difficulties, because we're just, you know, we're bringing our power up. It's totally what it is. You know, we're not just nerds in our basements right now.
No, totally, because I wasn't in my basement 5 minutes ago. Nope, not at all.
Nope.
Random note of the day. Angie does have a nice basement.
I do.
Random note
I
of the
really
day.
Do.
Satish knows that Angie has a nice basement.
Yes,
we're close friends.
My
is that odd?
Including chairs.
All right. Angie, we're going to have to let you go. But, again, very happy that you called. We're not going to do the streak thing tonight because it's more of a wrestling thing. But either
way.
You
guys were whack tonight.
We have a DBZ streak of 0-1, I guess. But seriously, though.
But that's like, we'll be like Dean Ambrose with the U.S. title. We'll never defend that ever. The next time we talk about DBZ will be in like 2 years. And
yeah, exactly. It'll be great.
No.
And, not really.
It was lovely having you on. And
all right.
As always.
Guys,
call.
Have a good night.
Keep on calling in, you know?
I will.
All right, take care. Keep on listening.
You too. Bye.
All right. So, everyone, now that we're all here. We're all hyped.
Got stability back, right? Because for me, I actually lost contact with the Blog Talk Radio studio. So
that's very interesting. I was not looking at the studio itself. I was just, you know, I was too busy. I don't know if you you didn't hear that. We were talking about how there is actually no Dead Zone Laserdisc assembly. There are, you know, for DBZ, they have all been sold. So there are only the Dead Zone by Stephen King.
That's interesting.
Yeah, huh. And Japanese versions of things, like Night of the Living Dead.
So what is the cheapest Laserdisc of anything we can get?
Yeah, right? Just give me the... Well, hey, they look, again, they look better than DVD, the original DVDs anyway. Like, I know that Funimation...
No,
I'm
just asking, if you punch in Laserdisc into eBay, like,
right.
What's the cheapest thing you can get?
Oh, I feel like it is 30, though. Or 5, at least. Because let me check. I'll check. Well, it depends on... I think it depends on the Laserdisc, because for Stephen King's The Dead Zone, it's like, get this away from me. We don't,
yeah, that's what
I want this in my
I'm
house
sure there
anymore.
Are people sitting there, like, I have Laserdiscs in my home. I'm never going to be cool.
However, for $30, though, that's actually pretty good for some of the Japanese. Because remember, when I said DBZ, they're all Japanese. None of them made it to America as Laserdiscs.
That's correct.
Right. So, obviously, they are, you know, they're all Japanese. So, imports for $30, that's pretty good, I would say. Right, guys?
Yeah, I guess so.
Jokes aside, I think it's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, from an import perspective, you can say whatever you want to about the movies. You know, we made jokes about Bob Broly because, dear God, why? But it's understandable why, you know, as an import price, it would be $30. And again, I was mentioning, I don't know if you guys remember, I don't know if you guys ended up eventually, well, you technically saw it on DVD, Satish, but I feel like you saw a Blu-ray version of Dead Zone, right?
Yeah, I saw a good quality version now. Well, rewatching it now.
That's an issue. Because what's funny is, I don't know, Satish, you have that. Tristan, do you have a DVD of Dead Zone or just like a recorded copy from television?
No, I do have a DVD of Dead Zone.
DVD or when they did the remakes? Because
It's a remake. I got it in the First Strike pack, I think.
Oh, okay, because I have a few of the, like, Lord Slug and Cooler's Revenge from the beginning, like, the first time they ever released them, right? So I was, like, 13 when my dad bought them, right? They look terrible. Because the transfers were really bad, because it was when DVD was first coming out, like, 2002, 2003.
Right.
2001, heck. So in other words, if you got a Laserdisc at that time, it was probably worth it. Nowadays, we have that little thing called Blu-ray. But,
in 2014, you know, Matthew Moreau is arguing for the purchase of Laserdiscs.
yes. Listen here,
we've got,
man,
like, 13
you know,
minutes left. We've got, like, 13 minutes left on the show, and you're arguing
for
Laserdiscs.
And I'm arguing about Laserdiscs. Listen, man, you don't know, man. You don't know things, man.
Although, I did want to bring up one thing, though.
Oh, please do.
Have you guys noticed, like, in the older movies, the fighting styles are actually a lot different?
Yes, I would call it the evolution of Dragon Ball Z itself, not to bring that up, sadly, but that title. But I would call it I hate to do that. I didn't mean to. But it's basically how DBZ has evolved, where it started off as a Kung Fu series. I'm so sorry. It started off as a Kung Fu series, and then it evolved into this, you know, let's do my power-ups and my energy beams and my flying. So it was. I really liked the fighting style in the first few movies. I mean, hell, they used it for the opening. That's how good they were.
Yeah,
the American
the combos that you saw were just amazing.
Oh,
like when the two henchmen come at Goku and they pull the swords out of their bodies.
Yes, that's one of my favorite scenes.
They take power pull off his back.
Oh yeah,
and just that scene where they're slicing away at him and he's just dodging in and out and then flip. Yeah, I think he even got his hair cut.
Yes, which never grew back. It's supposed to never grow back.
It's that one hair randomly sticking out.
Yeah. So Satish, we had a caller?
No, it was just Angie calling in to listen again.
Ah, understandable.
Because
we
don't know, you
can
call in.
Caller.
You can call in our guest number to actually listen to the show. If you don't have a laptop or anything accessible, if you call in, you can listen to the show while
you
wait.
Oh, yes, please do. But while you're there, Gio and Maddie, you should definitely just I spoke to Gio. If anyone doesn't know our saga with Gio, we're trying to get him to call in because we know he listens. He's told us, I listen, but he doesn't call. But finally today, he looked at me.
Other people who listen, give us your name so we can make fun of you on air.
Yes, because he was on his knees pleading with me. He was on his knees, but he was pleading with me. He's like, listen, I'm going to the WWE Network. Please stop calling me out on air.
Please,
like,
it hurts. All three of your viewers are attacking me at night, and it hurts, man.
Yeah, right. Just and all three of your viewers, Gio, Fetish, and I also commented to you about it. All three of your viewers, only one extra viewer. but yes, so the DBZ movie, I would say, is a good one, I think. Because, and as Tristan mentioned, yes, the fighting style is a lot different. And I think, like, what did you think about it, Fetish? Like, thinking back or thinking about when you saw it recently, how great are those fights? To the death.
I mean, personally, I thought the older fights, it was usually with the henchmen, just seeing Goku fight, you know, three, four, five guys all at once. And that one moment where, you know, he's basically got the fight in control, and then the one moment where you just see the look in his eyes like, oh, God, he's going to do it. And then he drops all of them. I just wait for it every time, and I love it.
Yeah. So how does that make you feel, kind of like the transition between, you know, those kind of fights and then to, I'm a flying? You know, what do you think about that exactly?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of miss the older style a little bit, but, you know, it just, I don't know, I guess I just got used to it the way it progressed, you know?
Yes, definitely. I think we might be having some more technical difficulties with Fetish Ram. Are we Fetish Ram?
No, I'm here. I'm listening in.
Oh, no, because I was asking you specifically on what you thought, because I know you were away for a bit there, but I want to hear your opinion, because he's the outlier here. Like, you know, both Tristan and I saw it as kids, where you saw it when you were a bit older, so I really want your opinion on, you know, on the fights and things like that.
You know, and I guess maybe I'm biased in a way, too, because of how much I like Dragon Ball Z as a whole, where you can give me any Dragon Ball Z stuff, and I'll say this was pretty cool. Now, this wasn't the greatest movie I've seen from the set, and I mean, you guys would both agree with me there. But did I enjoy it? Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, because Garlic Jr. was pretty serious. Like, you know, I took him serious. I was like, all right, this guy's kind of overboard. And I think anything that gives me – I am a big Gohan fan. I mark out in equivalent wrestling. I mark out for Gohan. So when he does things, even as a kid, I love it. So his big fight at the end, him getting into it, I loved it. I buy into it. I'm always ready to watch Gohan kick ass. So
I'm also, you know, what I think the thing that
because Gohan,
yeah, definitely, definitely. Another thing we forgot to mention, and so I'm a big fan of, is the art style, specifically when they do flashbacks in this movie. I don't know if any of you remember it. It looked like it was just the entire movie was hand drawn because of the time the movie was hand drawn, but just the way it was drawn was like a sketch. And it was so beautifully done.
When Kami starts talking about when Garlic's father was competing with him for the throne.
Yes,
well,
the entire art style during that flashback was beautiful. Right, yeah, Guardian of the Earth. He isn't the god. He's just, you know, his name is just God. imagine that. What's your name, Jesus? What do you do? You know, just like, you know, finance. All right, cool, whatever. like, what's your name? Jesus, what do you do? Rule over this land. All right, cool, chill. All right. You know, whatever. No one's calling him out on it. But yes, during that flashback, I really liked the art style because it just felt so different compared to, I think DBZ as a whole, I liked it as a kid because it was different than what we were getting at the time.
True.
Yeah, you know, compared to all those American cartoons and things like that, it was so different, and it really, drew me to it. And you get movies like
this. Grab your attention.
Definitely. And, I mean, think about it, you know, think about the whole movie aspect. I mentioned it earlier, you know, in the beginning of the podcast, to really think, like, you know, you get the Rugrats movie or something. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to, you know, to theaters. This movie, oh, yeah, it's going to theaters. Oh, yeah, it's going to theaters, all this, you know, theaters, this, theaters, that. DBZ, it's like, hey, you want to get a full hour-long movie? Well, yeah, watch it on television. Okay. You know, and up until around, I want to say maybe even because I think it was the first 3-4 movies that really aired on TV just like religiously. Then after that, they kind of were on sporadically and were at really bad times, and you didn't really know when it was coming on. But the first 3 were just golden in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Where you were able to like really like, I think if you were just like me, where just you were just sitting there, bam, you knew when they were coming on. You know, Friday,
yeah.
Like that Stephen, that Cullen voice. I don't know if you know the man who also voices over Optimus Prime, right?
Mm.
That voice doing the Toonami promos, which is like,
this Friday comes TV's Dragon Ball Z, Dead Zone, only Toonami.
You know, those promos? That was him.
Yeah.
And that was something that's another part of our childhood that we need to get, talk about on a different day, where it's just that man could sell anything. He's like the JR of, you know, anime promos. He made a good-sounding Gundam Seed promo. Let's all sit here and kind of just, like, let it sink in.
So is that the equivalent of like JR with the Skittles, where he turns something
that's what
useless
I just said, yes.
into? But that's the, no, but with the Skittles specifically, it is like that.
Let's explain it. Let's explain that to Tristan if he's not aware. Basically, JR, you know, very very amazing announcer, right? In WWE. So you know he would always commentate on matches, and he would always sell things, like oversell them. Like a guy can trip, and it'd be like, my golly, I think he just broke his knee, right? So
right. That's
just who he is. And they have to promote every single show. Like, you usually have to promote, like, some kind of item because, you know, whoever's sponsoring them. And at one point, he had to do Skittles. And I think at this point, he just stopped caring. He was like, screw it. I'm going to go all out. So all of a sudden, he's like, and now, you know, buy Skittles. They're fruity. They're delicious. By God, they're amazing Skittles. And just goes full out. And he goes, you like the Skittles, kids? Like, just not giving a damn. And it was beautiful. And currently, it's on YouTube. And we may need that to be our next opening.
To the point where, like, you could make anyone want Skittles. If you had Jerry, he's like, wow, this guy's really excited about Skittles. Maybe I should give Skittles a try.
Yeah, right? You never eat candy. You're like, I think I need to try some Skittles. And on that note, that's the note we're going to end our DBZ podcast on, Skittles.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. I would like to say though, we loved having you on, Tristan, and I think sometime next week we should definitely do another DBZ podcast, either on the second movie or on the really interesting filler follow-up for Garlic Jr. In case anyone doesn't know, there was filler for Garlic Jr. They did that.
Yeah, that was probably something else I was going to say, but yeah, he's one of the only villains that actually, you know, comes back. I mean, when the Z-Warriors put you down, they put you down.
Yeah, John Cena, like, you're done. You're never coming back. But yeah, he somehow managed to wade his way through. And we'll definitely talk about it when it gets closer to the day, but it was great having you on, and I think that, you know, I mean, you're a great friend of mine, and, you know, love talking to you about DBZ. And,
yeah, no,
you know,
honestly,
that
it was great
all?
To have you on. You obviously added a lot to the conversation. You're very pleasant to talk with. We'd love to have you on again.
Well, thank you very much.
As of right now, though, we're going to say our goodbyes. But before we do, tomorrow, Satish Ram and I are going to be doing an NXT podcast at 11:30. Now, usually NXT isn't my cup of tea, only because I don't like being spoiled for the new wrestlers. However, Paige has the Divas Championship now. I need to watch NXT. Satish was going to watch NXT. I need to watch. By the way, Tristan, before you think who's Paige, Google her and then be like, oh, hey.
Brittany Knight, Paige, or Soraya Jade will all leave you to the same image of my queen in wrestling.
Yes. No, it's so true. But either way, basically, Satish Ram and I at 11:30 are doing an NXT podcast. We're watching it at 9 on the WWE Network. Definitely do that yourselves. It's wonderful. You know, it's a wonderful program. I just haven't watched it because I don't want to be spoiled for the next generation. However, on that note, I would like to say thank you guys for listening to those guys. I haven't said it in a while, Satish. Don't get angry. I haven't said that in a while. See, that's
because
I'm off because of grammar.
Yesterday.
No, I don't think I said it. I thought we got caught.
You did.
Because of music.
You did. You said it over the
music. I said it while the music or before the music?
While the music was playing. You almost got it.
That doesn't count.
They heard you. And I hate you.
Well.
I'm going to hit the music.
Well, okay, please hit the music. I don't know what it's going to be tonight, but hit the music.
I think you have an idea.
Yeah, okay.
Legends live forever, friends.
Right.